So that famous gospel story of Jesus calling disciples, fishermen, to make them fishers of people. Today's text continues a story from last Sunday, right? That's the beginning of Jesus' ministry as he calls his first disciples. And last Sunday, we heard about Jesus' encounter with Philip and Nathanael. In today's story, he calls four fishermen at the Sea of Galilee: Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. In our liturgical year this year, we're actually working through the Gospel of Mark, although we did take a little deke last week and read out of John, right? Mark's Gospel is interesting by many accounts, and you probably know a lot of this already, but it was the first one written of the four, and both Matthew and Luke used Mark's Gospel as a reference in writing theirs. It's also the shortest of the Gospels, even though the Passion section is equivalent to the length of the Passion in the other Gospels. So the centrality of the cross is very important to Mark. And because his was used as a reference for the other two, we see a lot of overlap in the stories recounted in the life and ministry of Jesus. Yet, much of the best-loved stories or accounts of Jesus, like his birth, his sermon on the Beatitudes, sorry, I'm losing my mic here, some key parables, the Lord's Prayer, key encounters with people like Mary and Martha, Thomas, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, some miracles such as the raising of Lazarus, turning water into wine, prime teachings like love your enemies. Believe it or not, all of the above is not found in the Gospel of Mark. So where does he begin? With the proclamations by John the Baptist, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, and God's own voice declaring Jesus to be his son. That's where we start in the Gospel of Mark. And this moment of Scripture is a monumental moment in the lives of both John and Jesus. John has been preaching about repentance, right? Turning back towards God, preparing hearts. His entire ministry, he's been preaching this in preparation for the coming Messiah. And now the Messiah, Jesus' ministry of salvation, is about to begin. Immediately following his baptism, there is the temptation in the wilderness, and then not long afterward, the arrest of John. Mark moves very quickly. Could I ask for a handheld? Because I'm so sorry, I'm not able to keep this thing perched on my ear. Thank you. Or would it be just easier to go over there? Okay, great, thank you. And you'll turn this one off. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So all of this that we've heard, right, the baptism, the John's call to repentance, the baptism of Jesus, God declaring him to be his son, temptation, arrest of John, that happens in the first 13 verses, the first 13 sentences of Mark. And where we pick up today, the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, which includes the calling of his disciples. So this is really important. This is where John is running to, Mark is running to. And it's always amazing, isn't it, to read how those disciples just dropped everything and went after Jesus? All very ordinary men, and women too eventually, as we now know today. What would compel them to up and leave all behind? They must have been pretty special to trust enough in Jesus to do what they did, drop everything, follow him, turn their lives around, sometimes give up their lives. Or Jesus must have been so special that it was a no-brainer. Nonetheless, it's difficult for most of us to even imagine doing a major turnabout like that. Could we ever come close to emulating those disciples? Over the centuries, disciples have been sainted, We look to them in awe as examples of holy people. We often pray to them in supplication, and we revere and honor them for their accomplishments and sacrifices. In our hearts and minds, that's a tough act to follow, right? We have those disciples up on a pedestal, like figuratively as well as literally in thousands of churches throughout the world. That's intimidating indeed. High bar, for sure. But take heart, because Mark gives us some interesting and perhaps reassuring perspectives on the disciples, on the failures of the disciples. This hand-selected group by the Savior himself. It's a prominent theme in Mark's gospel. It's been said that in his version of the gospel story, the only thing Jesus' disciples ever do right is to leave their nets and follow him in the first place. After this, they can often appear to be very disappointing. Throughout the first half of Mark, the disciples are very obtuse. They don't get it. They don't easily grasp who Jesus is or what he wants of them. Halfway through the gospel, Peter does recognize and claims Jesus as Messiah, but draws some wrong conclusions from this. In the next section, Jesus predicts his passion three times. And the first time, Peter rebukes Jesus, saying, "No, it doesn't have to be this way if you don't want it to." And what does Jesus say, right? "Get thee behind me, Satan." And the second time, the oblivious disciples have a debate instead about who among them is the greatest. The third time he tells them about the passion, two of them start jockeying for position. Who's going to be at the left and who's going to be at the right of Jesus when he comes to rule? And the disciples have been with Jesus for how long by now, right? By the time we're approaching the Passion. 3 years, right? What's not to get? Near the end, Judas betrays Jesus. Peter denies him, and the rest run away. Obtuse is right. Self-obsessed at times. Fearful, certainly fallible, certainly human. And we certainly don't lack any of these qualities, do we? And therein lies the encouraging message for you and me. The calling of discipleship is not made to those based on their merits or accomplishments. It's not based on what they or we have to offer. It's what God, Christ, has to offer us. He is always ready to invite us, call us, follow me, and then welcome us into relationship with him, to love us, accepting the whole package of us. Sounds like what? Grace. Sounds like grace, doesn't it? In spite of our failings, our frailties, our sins, we are invited into relationship with him, to follow him, learning as we go, just like the disciples, learning as we go what it is he is calling us to do. We just have to say, "Yes, Lord." We just have to show up and offer him our gifts, our passions, our talents for him to use, offer him our hearts. We don't have to have it figured out and know what the job is all about and am I right for it and can I do it? No, we just have to say, okay. The ways of following Jesus are as varied as people themselves. Jesus said to those first disciples, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Why? Because he was speaking to fishermen. If he spoke to farmers or gardeners, he might say, "I'll make you planters of souls." And he kind of did that through many of his parables, didn't he? What might he say to you? Jesus didn't choose disciples who were all good preachers or all great healers or all great planners or organizers and so on. You get it. The disciples were a pretty mixed bag. So when you hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come, follow me," and you think you might not be good enough or ready yet, or you don't have any gift worthy of him, you're not ready to pursue him. Think about his first disciples, his first imperfect disciples who ended up changing the world after Jesus left it in their hands. We likely won't have to leave our home, our family, our employment. Some people do. But we can still exchange our old life for a new one by breaking free from what we were before, by shifting from where we were before, by letting go of stuff we're hanging on to for the wrong reasons. It's about reorienting our lives, turning around, right? That's the definition of repentance, turn towards God. So that when we recall the voice of Jesus saying, "The time is fulfilled," these very first words, these are his first words in the Gospel of Mark, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." When we hear the invitation to come, follow me, we can trust that it's enough to show up. He will lead us the rest of the way. Amen.